My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
Oh no. I'm picturing you also smoking, but the cigarette is between your toes.
My best impression of Jason Brown at like 9 in the morning on a Monday.
Fitness goals for sex stuff is private.
All of this is unusable.
Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
My name is Netta. How are you doing, Megan? Hi. I had a moment where I was like, I'm going to introduce myself in Russian, and then my brain stopped working.
That's okay. I'll try my best. I only know like 3 Russian words, and they're like, privet, yeah. And molodets, and spasibo, or as I like to say, spicy boat, and babushka, and dedushka, right? That's grandpa.
It's very soft. It's dedushka.
Dedushka.
Yeah.
I can do like a mass in old church Slavonic because I was a choir ho for a long time.
God.
So I know that if you say God the wrong way, it sounds like whore. So you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Which, you know, maybe that's what you're doing. You know, maybe you've got like a very like sex worker positive mass. That would be cool.
That'd be.
I don't think that's
cool.
What Rachmaninoff was doing, but
maybe he was. We don't know his life.
Weirdly enough, no Rachmaninoff at the Cup of Russia. That's kind of a
shocking,
miss for me.
Right? Yeah.
What we did get in lieu of Rachmaninoff was so much Klug. It was the Restella Klug Cup.
I think we found our title of the episode. There were so many Klugs. How many Klugs could a Klug, I don't even know.
How many blues could a Klug,
blues Klug, blue, yeah. I blues, tried blues. That joke, I tried that joke and Jackie Wong liked it, so I feel like, very, very accomplished in my Klug humor.
Your Klug humor? It's a whole genre now. Speaking of Jackie Wong, I'm always speaking of Jackie Wong.
Yeah,
in my
same.
Heart. He did a pretty comprehensive post on his website, Rocker Skating, about like qualification scenarios for the Grand Prix final. So I won't go too in depth, but in lieu of our breaking news segment, because there haven't been, as of the time of recording, any crazy changes to the singles event, in the name of doing what Jackie Wong does but worse, I'm just going to do a very quick overview of probably where we're at going into the final. So men are there. Is some wiggle room. There's a tiny bit of wiggle room. I'm not going to go into all the wiggle room because a lot of it is kind of unlikely and math-oriented. But essentially what we're looking at right now is Nathan Chen's going, Alexander Samarin's going.
Spoiler alert for the entirety of this episode, but Samarin's going. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be great.
And then basically barring, knock on wood, a completely unprecedented disaster, Yuzuru Hanyu is going.
Unless he pulls out.
Yeah, unless he pulls out, basically. Jason Brown will go if he podiums at NHK, which I love that song.
I'm so scared.
And then basically between Makar Ignatov, who we'll talk about, who is a new exciting baby from Russia, and Kevin A. Ma is basically whichever of them, either of them, in order to go, have to podium and beat the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dmitry Aliyev will almost definitely also go in the 6th spot. So that's our men.
Yeah, that's...
Men are essentially, barring any crazy unexpected shit, it's probably going to be Nathan, Alexander Samarin, Dmitry Aliyev, Yuzuru Hanyu, Jason Brown, and either Kevin Amaz or Makar Ignatov.
That's, I would love to see it. That sounds great.
Yeah. Now for ladies, already qualified are Anna Shcherbakova, Alexandra Trusova, again, spoiler alert, but the least spoiler.
Oh my god, oh. Pretends to be shocked.
Pikachu face. And, again, barring any sort of crazy events at NHK, Alina Zagitova, Rika Kihira, and Elena Kosternaya will probably also all go. Mm. Basically, Kosternaya has to get 5th or higher at NHK, and Rika and Alina have to podium. So mm-hmm. That's well within all of their capabilities. And then the last spot will almost definitely, we'll go to Brady in that situation.
Yeah.
And if any of the 3 NHK girls massively, massively screws up, Satoko will go, but it's not looking likely. So mm-hmm. That's where we're at. It's pretty much, I mean, unless NHK ends up being like
insane.
An absolute, yeah, insane, we pretty much know. And that's kind of a cool place to be.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about the prospects There is no one that I'm like, oh, how is this happening? I can't believe they're going to the final. This is garbage. I wish so-and-so was going instead. Like, it's given the stuff that we've seen so far, it just makes sense. It's been going so hard.
I was saying the other day that I feel really ungrateful because I spent the whole off season being like, I miss it. I miss like watching skating. I miss having structure to my life. And now I'm like, please, please just give me a week off. I can't do it. I can't do it again.
Well, good news is we do get a week before the final. So that's something. We do have a dark week.
Thanksgiving. So we all have to like do that whole like rigmarole.
I don't.
Well, no, you don't.
I wish I did. I would like some Thanksgiving foods. They're very much my favorite.
Oh, you can come to my house and spend $1 million on a flight.
Yeah, that sounds like experience. Fun. Yeah. Maybe I'll just make some mashed potatoes and eat them by myself. It's going to be great.
You could put some mashed potatoes loose in an envelope and mail them to me. That doesn't make sense. I guess I would mail them to you, but as we know, when I mail you things, they don't get there.
Yeah, so. It's heartbreaking. I'm torn between stealing Kids in the Hole joke and a Trixie Mattel joke, so I'm not going to steal either one of them. Let's talk about Russia.
Let's talk about Russia. So let's begin with the ladies, like we have been doing. It's been a good streak. I see no reason to stop. Okay, so in third place, earning her second Grand Prix medal of the season, was Mariah Bell.
I'm going to be honest with you. I adore Mariah so deeply. We all know that there is plenty of record showing that. I did not go into this Grand Prix season expecting to see her on a podium twice or once. I didn't expect this at all, and I'm very happy about it, but I just didn't know if it was possible in those deep, deep fields.
Yeah, it's really, I think, kind of blowing everyone's mind.
I'm so proud of her.
Yeah, me too. Let's talk about her programs.
Yeah, let's. You know what? I could talk about them so many, 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 many times.
I think we're getting to a place in the season, which is really interesting, where we've gotten through all of our like initial impressions of all of the programs, and now I'm able to look at them with a different eye and sort of see individual moments and details that I wasn't picking up before. And I think too, like, as the athletes are like refining their performances, those things are coming out more. So it's kind of cool that we kind of end up talking about the same programs over and over, but we never run out of stuff to say, which is not only a testament to our own verbosity and love of the sound of our own voices. Obviously we're podcasters, but
that's also literally your job.
The magic of figure skating.
Yeah. I will say I haven't watched IDF recorded just yet because I'm still processing having it happen to me live. So this was the first time I got to see her programs, or at least her short, which we've only seen twice, actually. This was the first time I got to like watch the way they were shot and like screened for people. And it was a different experience.
That's true. This is the first time you saw it. So what did you think? How was it different seeing it? Like,
well, first of all, she wore a different lipstick and she looked very pretty. No, seriously, she did wear a different lipstick, but it's interesting how much of like the ice coverage you lose in recording. I know that's probably obvious to people who like get to see a lot of figure skating live, but it loses so much of its like momentum when you're seeing it in recording. Having said that, it is a joy to be able to like watch for like micro moments and like expression and all of that stuff. Like you kind of lose when you're, you know, in an arena, and sometimes like an element is happening with the skaters back to you or something. So that was fun and new and exciting.
It's crazy too, because for all that you're saying, like you lose some of like the ice coverage or the speed or whatever, like that's always the thing that strikes me about this program, especially watching it this time, was like how fast and athletic it is. And I think that Mariah sort of defaults to a more graceful, beautiful presentation. Mm-hmm. And so this is a good program, not just to show like a fun, flirty side of her, but just to show how powerful and athletic her skating is underneath all of the like princessy like style that she puts on it usually.
Yeah. I do think it's a very smart program choice. I know we just like hyped it up last time, but I do want to say that it's obviously a very smart choice because we've seen so much like beautiful, lyrical, dreamy stuff from her that, I mean, aside from like when she did like Chicago and all of that a couple seasons back, but it's so interesting, like you said, to see her do something so, like, it's a workout. It's, like, literally, she's getting to work.
It really, really gives me flashbacks to when I used to go to Zumba. It's just so smartly constructed. And it, the moment that Brittany's like, no, get to work, and then she goes into the step sequence, it's so hype. Oh,
it's so smart. It's just, like, it's impossible not to be, like, full, like, Thursday night drag show when that happens. You're like, yes! It's just, like, impossible. I just watched my Soundwave speak. I'm so sorry. But that's how it makes me feel. It's just, like, very hyped up and, like, I want to scream and be handing out dollar bills. Which is a compliment, in case Absolutely. You don't know my life. That is a compliment.
Yeah, she did have kind of an uncharacteristic fall. She did fall on beat, though, which you gotta give her credit for that.
Yeah, you know I always like when a skater can, like, skate through having fallen. Like, sometimes when it's, like, a harder fall or, like, a more surprising one, there's, like, a second where you're like, oh, shit. But she like, pushed through, which I always enjoy.
Yeah, I guess, like, my one thing that I would say that would be, like, a little more on the critical side of Mariah, because I'm not, you know, I try to be, like, critical of everybody. Canceled. Of all the opinions I have about Mariah, that's not the one that's getting me canceled. It's the fact that I like her, but
yeah,
for being honest, but no, she, like, we talked last time, we talked about her, about how she's so vocally and clearly, just to look at her, like, so in love with skating, she just can't stop smiling and radiating joy while she's on the ice. Yeah. And so it's when she does a program to a song that's sad, it's a little dissonant. And, like, mm-hmm. I got this a little bit with her Celine last year, which is technically a song about begging your cheating boyfriend to come back to you. And she kind of skated it as though it was, like, a celebration of love. And likewise with Hallelujah, I mean, I think it's a song that one could write essays and essays about what it's about. But I think we can all agree it's not, like, a happy, joyful song, yeah. Right? It's like a melancholy song. And she kind of skates it as though it's, like, I love being an angel, you know?
An international angel of peace, if you will.
Mariah's an international angel of joy.
That's cute. Oh my god, is that what the ice skating awards are going to be like? Every category is international angel of blank.
I actually love that. International angel of choreography goes to Danielle Gleichenbach. Well deserved. International angel of sticking your leggy out real far.
Can I do a real quick side note? Because I can sense us doing something that we did to Alexander Samarin last year, where we bullied him so much we ended up standing. And I feel like Daniil is starting to cross into the same territory, and I'm scared.
Daniil, as a dear friend of ours, described him as having creepy youth pastor vibes. Oh, and for that reason, I will not probably ever stand. But I do try my best to bring him up as much as possible, just because he makes me laugh.
That's bullying.
Laughing at men is my favorite hobby. What are you talking about? Okay, so anyway, Mariah, is she bringing enough of the right emotions to her skates? I don't know, but she makes it work, bitch.
Hey, I wish she would make it work, bitch. But the ISU has thoughts about that. I just hope she, like, saves this program for, like, shows and stuff, like, in the summer. Like, imagine how hype it would be the first time you hear it, like, the uncensored version.
Yeah, no, that would be super hype. She did have a moment, I think, in the Kiss and Cry where she was like, what a bummer. Oh, and then she covered her mouth. And I was like, okay, well, if she thinks she can't say bummer, then I'm not sure how likely bitch is happening. But
yeah, I feel like Adam needs to work on taking her out to the bars more until she realizes that bummer is not a bad word. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Bummer, here. I hardly know her. Okay, let's move on.
Just real quick, Shailene Bourne, beautiful work, always. I will not get tired of praising her. Just beautiful.
Oh yeah, I'm starting to notice little details. Like, it's very, it's lyrical in the sense of, like, she puts movements that sort of reflect the lyrics. Like, she says, like, please the Lord, and kind of, like, gestures to the heavens, or, like, major lift, and she lifts her leg. Things like that, where it's not so on the nose that it's like, all right, we get it, you're a mime. It's yeah. More, it's nice. It's simple, it's evocative, it goes with the song. It's a hard line to toe, and I think Shaylin does it well. Yeah, she gets it.
Speaking of things Shaylin gets, let's talk about her silver medalist.
Yeah, so silver medalist Evgenia Medvedeva, who always comes back.
The biggest fighter.
Can't keep a good Russian girl down.
Hey! Yeah, no, this was fucking joyful to behold. She deserved that. We all deserved that. It needed to happen. Just so very happy. And it always feels like such a nice homecoming when she's in Russia. But, like, just seeing... Because, like, we've been fed so much narrative about her moving and blah, 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 whatever. You all know the whole thing. It's just so joyful to hear a crowd be so very, 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 very hyped to see her skate for them.
And as recently as back in, I don't remember, was it March or February when they did the whole Russian Cup final essentially to determine the last world spot?
Mm-hmm.
And it when it was kind of her first return to Russia following her move, and it was so up in the air for her whether she how she was going to be received, and it was this wonderful, like, oh my gosh, they do love me, you really like me, etc. And she, you know, had a similar Sally Field thing at Ristelcom, where it was just very clear that
they really like her.
Everyone's a big fan.
Hey.
Get it? Because she got a big fan.
She got such a big
I made
fan.
The same joke as Jackie Wong, but he got more likes because he's more famous than me, and that's fine. That's how it goes.
You made it like 2 minutes earlier, and I was like, oh no. But it's fine. It was a good joke. People deserved to get it from as many people as possible.
So let's talk about it. So short program, Exogenesis Symphony,
Perfect.
Perfect.
Just, there wasn't a single beat where I was like, ooh, I'm scared now. I was scared before she started skating, and then she took me in her gentle arms.
She held you and swaddled you in her blue flaps. And
yeah. Ugh. I needed that.
That piece is like, it feels like breathing or like air, not to get too abstract, but I think it reminds me of like, if you're like a singer or you play a wind instrument and you have to like mark out what your lines are and where you're going to take a breath and how you're going to like develop every line. Like, it feels like that same type of attention has been given to this program so that it doesn't, none of it feels like filler at all. It all feels like it's been given the same level of delicate attention.
I love that. I just feel like it kept like growing because, you know, like once like say the first jumping pass is done, it's like, oh, thank God this was beautiful. But then there is more coming. So there was like this constant, I don't want to say tension because it wasn't, because I trusted her, but there was this buildup of just, it kept getting better until at some point you're like, oh, this is just sparkly and clean and gorgeous and just unbeatable.
It really feels well practiced. Mm-hmm. And when she came off the ice, she was like, finally. And Brian said the thing that he and Tracy always say when one of their skaters skates clean, they're like, you deserved that. And I think that's so cute because it's like an acknowledgement of how hard they worked.
Yeah. My grandma insisted on, because I watched some of it, as you all know, I watched some of it with her. She insisted on letting me know after both of Zhenya's programs, both days, that my grandma thinks that Zhenya is just several levels above everyone else. And she doesn't know why, because she doesn't, like, know technicalities. But she was like, oh yeah, she's just a different class. I'm like, you know what? You're right and you should say it.
That's true. Your grandma is so right. She has absolute, like, it's that's what it is that she's really, like, in a league of her own.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you know, jumps, technicalities, whatever. But performance-wise, league of her own.
Just a whole different.
Yeah, she's an artist.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, this is beautiful.
Yeah, as far as the free skate goes, first of all, a Sal loop is, it continues to be a jump combo that fucks and slaps.
All of it.
Both fucks and slaps. All of it. It's cool. It's like,
it's a combo. It fucks and slaps.
You don't see two edge jumps together as frequently.
As with any other jump, like, I understand technically, not in practice, but technically how it should be done. Two edge jumps, one after the other, feels like, I don't know how legs do that. I don't know how your legs sustain you to make that possible.
Ever since she started being coached at the cricket club, her jumps have felt more controlled and like she takes her time and she can rely on her muscles and her power and she doesn't have to rely so hard on that frantic momentum the way a lot of jumps and especially like loop combos have to rely on being like really, really fast and like, riding that speed. All of her jumps feel like she doesn't have to rely solely on speed and that she can give it some more time, and it's more grounded and relaxed.
It's just beautiful.
It is. It's just beautiful. And I think the biggest thing about this program is, first of all, it's rare enough to see a skater who is able to vary their quality of movement to portray different emotions and different stories, even from program to program. Mm-hmm. Most skaters, and it's not even a bad thing, like, we were literally just saying with Mariah, like, we could watch Mariah all day, but she doesn't have, like, a huge range of, like, different ways of moving her body. Whereas, yeah. like, a skater like Zhenya, not just from program to program, but within this one free skate, she goes from, like, playful and flirty in the part that's, I think it's, is it the dance part of the Gimme More Certification, where it's,
yeah.
like, that part, and then I think it's her choreo sequence, and then toward the end the step sequence to the heavy drumming, it's like two totally different characters, and she's doing that just with the way she moves her body. It's insane.
Yeah, I will say I continue to not like this dress, and it's not because of like all the things we've debated on whether or not it's an appropriate dress for her, like whatever. It just feels so busy and heavy, and it distracts me from all the wonderful work that she's doing. Like, it's just, and I've never said this about a figure skating costume, because I like opulence and I like a lot, and I think that's fun. It just feels like so much. And I know she loves it. She clearly, like, the way she carries herself in it, I know she feels good in it, so I can't really criticize it, but it's just a lot of dress.
I was thinking about this because I think that it's a hard line to ride between when it comes to traditional East Asian silhouettes, a hard line to ride between accuracy and functionality for figure skating, because if we are going accurate, it's a lot of fabric, it's drapey, it's not fitted, it's flowy, it's a lot of dress. And if we're going functionality, it's traditionally more fitted because you want to see the lines of the body.
Yeah.
And I think that, for me, Zhenya's costume, I really admire the historical accuracy of, like, the fact that the sleeves are not totally fitted, or the fact that, you know, the skirt is a little, is not, like, you know, short or anything like that. And I think that's important if you're going to be, like, white and doing this, but
yeah.
it does hide her body. And it's like, you know, who am I to complain when she wears a totally skin-tight jumpsuit in the short program? I mean, it's not like she can't do that. Even this season, but I just feel like the way it looks on her arms, like the belled like sleeve that comes over her hands and the dark gloves, it's like her whole arm is kind of lost.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the fabric around the skirt and having it be a little bit of a longer skirt, I would have liked to see something go. I want to do like Coco Chanel, like take one thing off before you leave.
Well,
but
Coco Chanel was a Nazi, but she did say some smart things. No, she was literally a Nazi.
No, I know. I just wasn't expecting you to say that.
Well, I feel like it's my civic duty to remind people every time we talk about little black dresses and taking one thing off before you leave the door that she was a very smart woman, but also a fucking Nazi.
The funny thing is that I didn't know that, so it's important that you keep reminding people that, because I didn't know.
Yeah, no, she was like actually literally a Nazi. Smart, though. Yeah, taking one thing off, always good advice.
Yeah, so, like, be judicious with what you wear, but also don't be a Nazi.
Yeah, that's the theme of this season, isn't it?
Wow, that is correct.
We've solved it. That's it.
We've solved it. The theme of the season. Dress tastefully, don't be a Nazi.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. So anyway, yeah, I agree. I think one of the many elements in this dress should have gone. But also, I know we're not going to see a change ever, because she clearly adores it, so.
Also, I mean, the one thing I would say that I wonder if it would be an easy swap is I wish that the gloves, instead of being black, were the same light blue of the ends of the sleeves.
Yeah, that would, like, at least not break her arms up as much.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, one thing, because I have been skeptical of the silhouette of the skirt, but one astute Twitter user gifted her a spin as viewed from the sky cam and noted that it does kind of flare out behind her like a peacock, and that is...
It's cute.
Cute. Interesting. Something. I don't know.
That's the one use that we've gotten out of this fucking aerial cam, which I hate so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just pointless. We've talked about it at length. I just don't like the aerial cam. I think it's... distracting and disorienting.
I feel like the director of photography is concerned that we're getting bored if we don't switch up the shot every 2 seconds, as though we're watching this for, like, titillating cinematography and not just to watch people skate. Like, you're not watching ice skating if you don't like ice skating, so just let us watch it.
You know, like, sometimes with, like, the Challenger series, like, earlier in the season and, like, lower budget stuff, when it's just, like, one camera somewhere at the rink, like, sometimes I prefer that because it lets me make my own choices and watch, like, whatever I want.
Yeah, it's like POV. You're literally sitting here not moving the whole time. Yeah. You can just pretend you're there. It's great. It's like, it's kind of like the baby panda cam.
Yeah, it's exactly like the baby panda cam, except it's people spinning real fast.
Speaking of babies.
In first place, surprising absolutely no one, we have Alexandra Trusova. Well-deserved, okay, listen. I think.
Well-deserved, I think. And something that I was actually literally talking about in therapy yesterday.
Alexandra Trusova?
Because, no, well, yes, in a roundabout way. But I was talking about how I kind of, something about like live tweeting these events and like taking the time to say something positive about every single skater has made me realize that there are people in the world, or on the internet anyway, who will get mad at you for no other reason than you said something nice about someone.
Oh, yeah.
And I've never encountered that in my real life. I've always found that like kindness will always serve you well. But on the internet, people will get mad at you for being nice, and it's the weirdest thing, yeah, I've ever experienced in my life. And Sasha Trusova was kind of the catalyst of this more than other skaters this week, I found, and it was strange because it's like we've seen her compete at other
so many
like times. Grand Prix events. Why were people so pressed this time? Did you like magically think that the judges were going to change their minds about her? Like, I don't get it. She's good at jumping, and I don't think that that's a radical thing to say. Like, she's good at jumping. So I don't, that's
weird,
a fact.
Because, like, we're definitely critical of her entire camp and, like, everything they stand for a lot, and it was weird that, like, we somehow invited people to be like, actually, that was, like, across the board, several comments along those lines. If any of y'all have tuned in, hi, welcome. Point being, I feel like if we were critical of her on Twitter, we would get the people with, like, their Russian flag and their Twitter display names being like, how dare you? And I'm like, can everyone just, we're just here to have fun.
Yeah, listen, I said this a little bit on Twitter. I just want to reiterate, because I think it bears endless repeating, watching figure skating is something that you, no one will put a gun to your head and make you do it, so you have to opt into that, and I think it would behoove everyone to, like, look inside their hearts and be like, why do I choose to do this? The answer is for fun, right? Like, I can't think of any other reason why you're watching competitive figure skating other than it's fun and it brings some measure of joy to your life, ideally, right?
I feel like so many people watch it just to get mad about things. And it's across the board, regardless of what happens. After every single event, there is like a 45-minute window in which everyone's just mad. Just regardless of what's happened, like, your favorite could have won and they didn't win by enough points, or your favorite did win, but like that means that like your second favorite ended up in fifth, so now you're upset about that. Like, it's insane to me how many people seem to be coming into the sport with the only intention of just being upset about things on the internet. I know you've said this, like, before. I know.
No, but I need to talk about it because, like, I was literally talking about this in therapy of, like, I feel like I'm trying to fine-tune my approach to, like, how do I maximize the joy of this experience that,
yeah,
because there are things about it that I can't control that will always upset me, such as, I'm sorry, like, I'm just gonna go there. Like, if I were to really go there, like, yeah, it does upset me that Sasha Trusova can win over Evgenia Medvedeva, but I can't control the scoring system. I, yeah, can't control the fact that it's built that in such a way that that's the way things work out. And there are so many things in my life that I can't control that upset me that, like, I don't have to watch figure skating for that. I can just sit at home and sit in my own depression. I watch figure skating to take me out of that. And so I consciously choose to look on a more optimistic side and find something in every skater that I enjoy. So if I say that I think Sasha Trusova is cute and personable and a hard worker and really amazing at jumping quads, like, it's because I'm trying really hard to enjoy it. And that's, you know.
Yeah, I just feel like if you're on Twitter bitching about things, there's a lot of things to complain which are not what color necklace a girl in a dress won for jumping on ice.
Ooh, I like that. Well, and it's like you, I can't control whether other people are online doing the 45-minute bitch fest after every single skating contest, but I can certainly
every single skate pageant.
every single skate pageant, Miss Congeniality. It's Dennis Vasiliev's. No, but I have to say, like, cutting out that 45, like, just knowing that that's coming, the storm is coming after every event, and deliberately avoiding it, that's something I've had to learn. And if you also need to do that, I encourage you to, because when I was speaking earlier in this podcast about feeling the burnout of the Grand Prix season, it's not getting up at 5 a.m. to watch. It's not even spending hours and hours struggling through my own executive dysfunction to edit this podcast together. It's just that like rain of vitriol that just like really takes it out of me. And luckily Twitter has a mute button and it's okay to use it.
Yeah. I've been so trigger happy with the mute button. You could have an avatar in a color I don't like, and I will mute you because you're very much in control of your online presence and the things you consume. And honestly, so much of it, I don't want to keep bringing us down, but so much of the shit we see on the internet is garbage just because the world is going through a lot. And I feel like if you're making conscious choices to engage with things, whether it's a sport or a TV show or a podcast that you like, or like whatever it may be, a band, I don't know. I can't do this without quoting The Adventure Zone. And I'm going to go ahead. You got to choose joy. You got to make the space for yourself in which you can enjoy shit, because otherwise you're just going to be miserable and there's no one who can tell you not to be. If like the TV shows you watch and the music you listen to and the sport you like are reasons for you to go argue with strangers on the internet, I'm sorry, my dude, but you got to stop this podcast and go find therapy somewhere. Like, it's just not healthy for anyone. And it's like the tiniest thing you can do for yourself. Okay, I'm done. Also, just find good people to talk about things with. Because it's fun. Okay.
It is fun.
Wow.
It is fun. When it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
We really have gone off.
But it's needed. I needed this. I've been in a mood today and I needed to talk about things. But also just like, and I feel like you don't experience this or like this is one of your first experiences with this because you weren't as involved in like weird fandom shit like the past couple years, I guess.
That's true. I'm pretty new to internet fandom in general.
Yeah, which is insane. I'm a recovering fan of many thing with a rabid fandom. Like I like the earlier Marvel movies and I used to watch Doctor Who and like all of the things that are infamous in 2019 for having fucking insane fan bases, which is why I speak as someone who's no longer a fan of them, because people can ruin your experience of an objectively fine thing. It's so easy for me to believe that something I enjoy, that I'm silly for enjoying something because other people have found a way to criticize it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh,
yes.
Oh, they're smarter than me because they've seen this thing. And I'm just like buying into the sparkles and the twirling and the jumps. But fuck that. Like, I only have so many days of the year where I get to see people jump and be sparkly. So like, I'm just going to go ahead and enjoy that.
I think that there is an unfortunate, widespread, overarching opinion out there that pessimism is a more intelligent standpoint than optimism. And actually, I think it's completely the opposite. I think it's very easy to criticize, and I think that it takes a lot of effort and empathy and emotional intelligence to mm-hmm. find the good in things.
You want to hear my hottest take on that? I feel like that's just like a thing that people need to grow out of. And I'm not the kind of person to be like, oh, grow up. But like, it is the kind of thing where it's so easy, especially like if you're a young person and like a progressive person who's like just learning about how garbage the world is, it's so easy to just be like, well, yeah, everything sucks and here's why and here's my slam poem about how it sucks. Like, we all do that. And then at some point you cross over and you're like, no, you know what? I'm gonna tell my coworker that I gotta go home tonight because I want to watch some figure skating. And I'm gonna talk to people about my D&D campaigns and I'm not gonna be, you know, shamed into thinking that I gotta be cool and withdrawn to be, like, a smart person. Like, the whole reason that we're, like, doing this in 2019 is because both of us didn't talk about this in 2015 when we met.
That's true. We literally didn't talk about the fact that we were both closet figure skating nerds for the entire 3 years that we lived in the same country and were in the same program and saw each other 24/7.
Yeah, which is honestly probably for the better of, like, everyone else who knew us at the time.
Oh, yeah, and we were talking the other day about how we absolutely would have just completely skipped out on our program and gone to see Worlds in Boston if we had known that we had somebody to go with.
Yeah, so maybe it was, like, the universal force, like, looking out for us in our education, and maybe this was how things were supposed to be. But anyway, find joy in things.
all of this to say that Alexandra Trusova won gold, and you know what was cute as hell?
When she ate shit before she started skating.
When she ate shit before she started skating. It was so fucking cute and relatable.
This is not my take, but it's the correct take, and I don't remember who it was, but someone on Twitter was like, turns out what I needed from her was not all of the incredible jumps and everything. What I needed to start standing was this moment of, like, tripping and getting up and kind of laughing about it as she gets into position. Because, again, as everything else we talk about in this podcast, it was very, very, very humanizing.
Yeah, I think that it's easy to see a little girl, I mean, not a little girl, she's like 15, but to who goes out and it, like, you know, people call her a robot all the time and it's awful.
That's
and
horrible.
I think that, yeah, at a certain point you gotta look at yourself and say, why am I bullying a little teenage girl that I'm literally never gonna meet on the other side of the world? But something humanizing like that really does go a long way if you're a person who the only thing we see about you is how amazing you are in a way that is almost superhuman, you know?
It was funny and it was a good moment. Honestly, as critical as I've been of like her entire camp always, it was funny to even see like Daniil and Terry, like him like cracking up as well. And Terry, like, she didn't even look mad about it. She was just like, oh, seriously? Which I don't know. It was like a very human moment out of like all of them. And I enjoy that. I like seeing like glimpses of this camp having fun with each other, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I don't know what else I can say about this short program. I don't think it's good choreography. The costume continues to be one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. The one thing I was thinking was, while I was seeing her skate, was I wish she could work with a different choreographer, because I was kind of picturing what she might look like doing Shaylin or Benoit or Jeffrey Buttle or something. And then I was kind of like, well, that'll never happen, but also we never thought we would see Evgenia do any choreo that wasn't Daniil or Averbuch. So something that I think that Zhenya is doing, especially for skaters like Sasha, who she clearly has a relationship with and clearly has a certain level of, like, you know, this person looks up to me, is that she's setting an example that you can continue, there is a way forward, and you can continue to train and continue to compete and excel at an older age, whether you change coaches or whether you just continue on. It's not just for her. It's like she's showing a way forward for this whole generation whose previous only option was just retire at 17 when you grow boobs, you know? So it kind of got me emo a little bit thinking about if Sasha wants to ever do something different, she has somebody that she can look to who sort of blazed a trail.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah, love that for her. Whew, yeah.
I'm just speculating. Who knows? I mean, she seems very happy and whatever, but yeah. I'm just, you know.
Maybe letting her do new things would be exciting anyway.
I wish they could at least go to camp somewhere different, but they even have camp at home.
Yeah, they just do everything.
Sambo's constantly like, we have food at home, but the food is like Daniil choreography. The free skate was interesting for Sasha because she, now, first of all, sidebar, both the people who won were named Sasha. That's a funny coincidence. unisex Russian names, I tell ya.
Unisexrussiannames.com.
Jesus Christ.
It loads up as just like basic HTML, like Times New Roman 12, and it just says Sasha.
It just says Sasha, period. She fell twice during this, and she still won, and people were so pressed about it, and I'm like, are you new? Like, you can, it's not 1912, you can fall and still win. I saw people on the internet, literally, whose take was that they were mad that getting more points gets you the gold, and I'm like, this is the definition of competition.
Yeah, at that point, just go outside, honestly. There's so many ways to be mad about things. The person got the most points, so they won, and that's not fair, is not a good take.
Anyway, she got the most points, she won, she fell, but the jumps that she fell on were really hard, and she had other jumps that were really good, and it was enough to get her to the gold. Basically. God, first of all, after seeing the short program costume, this dragon costume, it's not perfect, but by God, at least it is a cohesive look that has glitter on it.
Yeah.
At a certain point, I'm like, thank God. But no, she, I just get so upset that they made her Daenerys and not Arya, because if you're familiar with Game of Thrones, and if you're not, this is going to be boring as hell, but if you think about the parallels, Arya is like a young woman who is not graceful or dainty, but she's badass, and she's like does her own thing, and she kind of does what the boys do, like fighting, right? But she does it in her own way with her own little tiny sword, and she just kind of blazes her own trail, but she's also, like, young. I just, like, all of it is so Sasha, and it would be so perfect, but they just were like, oh, blonde hair, dragon lady, perfect, done.
Yeah, I just don't think a lot of that was put into the storytelling aspect of this, if you will.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a shame, because I feel like they were so close to having something that was such a perfect character for her, and then they just missed it a little bit.
I will say I do enjoy that she has some very complex braids going on. If you're going to do a Dani kind of situation, like, at least that's... She has, like, several braids in her bun and stuff, and I'm like, okay, that's some... An attempt has been made.
Her, like, signature move is that she has a cantilever, which is very cool. And, like, say what you will about whether you think it's a good cantilever or not. But, I mean, you know, can you do a cantilever? No, probably right? not. So, how many people can do them? So, she's doing them. They feel weirdly placed in her programs. I would think they should be featured and, like, really given, like, a cool place. But they feel like, they feel too quick and, like, they're not given, like, a prominent enough place. It's like they just kind of let her splat down into it and then splat back up at, like, a weird beat in the music.
Well, it's the same as, like, any, like, choreographic element in that camp. It's just not given enough screen time and it could be featured more. It's like this. It's like a spiral or, like, anything else.
But anyway, good for Sasha. And, you know, I don't
She did the feel... most jumps and got the most points.
Yeah, she did. Do I feel, like, emotions while I'm watching her skate because of her skating? No. Well, but I do feel, like, nervous because I'm like, is she going to fall and kill herself because she's doing quads? But not because of, like, her, you know, whatever. It's fine. What she does very well, and she has time to learn the other stuff if she wants to.
Correct. Wait, do we want to talk about some more girls? So many cool girls at this event.
So many cool girls. Yeah, let's talk about my cool girls. They're not like other girls. They're cool girls.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, God, no. All girls are cool, but who do you want to shout out?
Alexia Paganini. It was her birthday, and she had to be at StellaCom, and that kind of blows, but she did a really good job.
She was fourth in the short program. I think she has nothing to complain about.
Yeah, in this field, that's a good-ass birthday.
Yeah.
She cut her hands really bad, so though. Good. She was bleeding everywhere. And then the free skate, she had bandages.
But she ended up 7th overall, and she did so good. Also, I think I said this on Twitter, but it bears repeating. Alexia does just, like, a single solid color better than, like, anyone else ever. I don't know how she does it, but she always pulls off just, like, a very saturated, single solid color dress. So very good.
She does. I agree with that. I agree with that assessment. Satoko. Satoko Miyahara.
Oh, Satoko. Beautiful Satoko. She ended up 4th.
Yeah, she had some trubs with the jumps, but it's very clearly just one of those things where you change coaches and then they, like, change your whole mindset about jumps and they say, forget everything you knew, I'm going to teach you a new way, and then you forget everything you knew, and then you go out and you're like, oh no, I forgot losses. It just happens.
Yeah, I feel like she's gonna bounce back so hard and we're going to have to be prepared for that.
Well, yeah, we see her at the start of a journey that we now see kind of Zhenya coming out the other side of, and it's just like, you know, it was interesting to see those two in the same competition because they're going through similar things of moving from, you know, the Eastern Hemisphere to, Canada to learn how to do Lutzes better.
Sounds weirdly specific, but okay. I want to shout out Emmy Peltonen. Because, first of all, she's so very beautiful. Secondly, in her free skating dress, she literally looks like Tinkerbell. Because she has her little blonde bun and she's wearing this green dress. And I posted a tweet about it and she liked it. And that's about as important to me as Amber Glenn's vagina dress. It's just a very important assessment. And I'm happy that Emmy knows that I think she's beautiful and she looks like a little fairy.
Perfect. Yeah, that's good. We stand a self-aware fairy.
You know what? I want to talk about Stanislava Konstantinova. I adore her. She ended up 11th. She didn't have a good time performance-wise, but she posted on Instagram and she was like, well, this is just a learning thing and it's not a huge deal. She basically said something to the effect of, like, I know people keep speculating, but I'm not done, which was great. She always looks so beautiful. She is one of the many people who've made bizarre choices regarding Moulin Rouge this year.
Oh, yeah, she did the weird Vocaloid one, too.
Yeah.
Why does my it just sounds heart go? Sorry, I could do this forever.
Yeah, but I just want to say that I always think she's so gorgeous in such a classical way, and I just wish her the best.
All right, let's transition into a break.
Yeah, boy.
Ready? 5, 6, 7. Break.
I don't know why I dabbed. You counted us off, and my instinct was to dab.
It's not a bad instinct.
I'm a 14-year-old boy. It's horrible.
Welcome to the middle of the show, the podcast. No, I don't know. Sorry, I got confused. Welcome to the middle of the show. As always, we have a couple of things that we would love to tell you about.
I would like to tell you about going on Apple Podcasts and leaving us 5 stars and or a review. Honestly, the stars matter more, which is kind of fucked up, but you don't need to spill your heart and write us a love letter. I would appreciate it, but you don't need to. You should just give us 5 stars because that's how the podcast gets more visibility for other people who happen to be like looking for things. It does have a weird algorithm where it shows you like different other shows that people who like our show are into. So like if you like a bunch of other shit and you think, oh, I like this show and I feel like people who listen to those might also enjoy our show, giving us 5 stars just like pushes the algorithm in a way that like it will get suggested to your friends who like your other stuff. So please do that. It takes half a minute. bit.ly/ICT podcast is the link you can follow to do that quickly. What else?
I didn't know any of that about the algorithm. That's really fascinating.
Yeah, no one really knows exactly how it works, but that's part of it.
Much like the qualifying for the Grand Prix series. We think we may know how it works, but who knows? I want to tell you guys about Patreon. Patreon is an amazing machine where you put in money and then amazing goodies come out. It's like a vending machine, and then like we're the people who work for the vending machine company who come once a month and take the money out and put in our pockets. So and then we actually give all of it to like our hosting platform, so we're not getting rich. But
it is helping. It does so much.
It's helping so much. So if you go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/icedteapod, you can check out the 3 different tiers of giving. And each different tier comes with a escalating amount of goodies that you can get from us in exchange for your generosity. You can either give us $1, $5, or $7 per month, and in exchange you get shoutouts, you can get like blooper reels, you could get a bonus episode. We do one every month. We're going to record our November episode soon. And I think that you guys are really going to like it. So check us out. Again, that's patreon.com/icedteapod.
Yeah, please do that. It truly makes things easy and enjoyable and also gives us an excuse to talk to each other more because we do make more episodes. So please give me a reason to call Megan more. patreon.com/icedteapod. Is there anything else?
No, I think...
Give me half a second. I'm going to mute myself and eat this cherry tomato because I've been nibbling at it for 40 minutes.
Jesus. Okay, so,
boys.
Something I want to say.
Okay.
Boys.
I'm sorry, men. Masculine, strong men.
Who do things like fix cars and twirl around in glittery blouses.
Oh my god, I love Magic Mike.
Make things. Furniture. ask for loans. Go to parties on sandbars.
I love Magic Mike so deeply, especially the second one.
I love Magic Mike too.
The second one is a feminist manifesto, and it's so fucking good. Oh my god, welcome to the part of the show where I talk about a movie I may or may not like. It's Magic Mike 2, and it's great.
I really like Magic Mike 2. So, okay, Cup of Russia, XXL. First of all, I just want to say people get so mad when the home country sweeps the podium as though they're not deliberately stacking it with good skaters from every host country. Like, that's how the Grand Prix assignments work. Every country's field has been stacked. Like, did you not notice last week in Cup of China when there were like 40 Chinese skaters that you'd never heard of before that were magically there and awesome?
They did magically that on purpose. Fucking good. Yeah.
And Magic Mike XXL. Yeah.
That's just how host picks work. Like, you save someone who's good to make your chances of a home sweep better. Like, it's not cheating or like gaming the system. It's just how things were. Like, if I knew people were coming over, I would make sure that my best friends show up to make me look good, you know?
Exactly. It's like stacking a party you're hosting with your hottest friends. Okay, so anyway, All this to say that I think that the podium of the people who were there makes a lot of sense to me. People just get mad when someone they've never heard of comes in and does well, and that's really sad because if you don't want new people to come in and do well, the sport's gonna die with you.
Well, it's fine. The world's burning, so we only have, like, two more Grand Prix to live through anyway.
Then it's good that Makar Ignatov got his bronze while he still has the chance, because he's this new kid who comes in and we're like, who's this kid? Let's look him up on Wikipedia. Oh, his previous season's best was 30 points lower than he got at this competition? God, not even he saw this coming, did he?
No, he didn't. It's like his first official full senior season. He had like a late start to his season last year. We haven't like seen a lot of him, blah, 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 blah. He's a grown man now, and he is very good. Also, quickly, according to my grandma, he's very handsome.
Oh my God, Stan Grandma.
Yeah, she's right, again.
She's got a good eye. This kid, I was looking at his Wikipedia page, and apparently one of his more recent competitions was the Cup of Nice. Only I read it as the Cup of Nice, and I was like, where everyone gets a 69. Hey, no matter how well you did, everyone gets a 69.
You get a 4.2 in your short program and a 69 in your free skate. It's a 420 joke. No, it's a 420 joke. It's just like no one's broken 400. And I need the quad axel to happen just so someone can score a 420 overall.
That'll be the series finale of figure skating.
If someone lands a quad axel and it magically makes things go to 420 points, figure skating is over. Goodbye.
And then Yandai Gemma lights up a fat blunt and skateboards off the roof of the Saitama Superdome and then rolls to credits.
So anyway, Makar Ignatov, right? That's a person.
Yeah.
He exists.
Okay, so short program, in this shirt. In this
Thank
shirt.
Thank fucking God. I was starting to get worried we weren't getting any irrepressibles. There was so much kluk happening that there was no irrepressibles, and I was starting to get worried.
Yep, in this kluk, Makar Ignatov came to tell you
that I love you.
I'm sorry, that's what that guy sounds like.
God bless him.
Rainbow. In a rainbow, and a show.
Go to our Patreon now, give us $15, and I'm gonna make Megan record a full cover of In This Shirt by The Irrepressibles.
I love. He came out in a shirt that was not, for me, the right shirt for In This Shirt, but it was a good shirt in and of itself, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like this is a question for the ages, is what is the shirt? I know at some point we've said, no shirt is the shirt for In This Shirt. I'm not sure, narratively, what this song wants this shirt to be honest.
Well, Netta, you have synesthesia and have in the past done, like, art based on what music sounds like to you. And I feel like you should do one based on what this song sounds like and then make that into fabric. And that would be the shirt.
It's very cold and it's like a morning when you wake up and just like opening your eyes, you know it's gonna be a cold day. Like you haven't looked out the window, but you're like, oh, there's no sun out, and it's just kind of grayish. So I feel like
so you're gonna need the shirt to be like a warm sweater.
Yeah, like a nice, either a nice warm, like something cozy, or just a physical representation of a cold morning, just like grays and desaturated.
And like something that really, really highlights the fact that your nipples are all pointy because it's so cold.
Yeah, definitely that. And he does say, I am lost in a rainbow, now our rainbow is gone. So that does imply a lack of color.
That always makes me think of that one level in Mario 64 when you're on a magic carpet on a rainbow. And it's like, someone should skate to that.
I'm reading the lyrics right now. You know what? I feel like, unless the person from The Irrepressibles, I'm not sure, I think The Irrepressibles is actually one person. It's not a band. It's just a person. Yeah, it's one person. His name is Jamie Irrepressible.
No, it's not.
Well, no, but that's like, The Irrepressibles is the creative guise of British musician Jamie Irrepressible, formerly known as Jamie McDermott. So anyway, unless Jamie is queer, which he could be, I don't know his life and I can't seem to find anything, but the shirt from In This Shirt, if his partner that he's singing about is feminine, it might be a girl shirt. Because it sounds like, in the words of this song, it sounds like this person has been left alone. And he says, in this shirt, I can be you. To be near you for a while, in this shirt, I can be you. to be near you for a while. So it implies that, like, your former partner has left their shirt at your house and you're still wearing it and being sad because it kind of still smells like them. God, this is upsetting.
Oh, that's so sad. So it's like their old college t-shirt.
Yeah, it's like a worn t-shirt from, like, a band show you went to together, like, 5 years ago. And it's, like, worn and soft. Someone should just skate this in, like, an old t-shirt. I think
what if the person who left is a former competitive figure skater who left their old costumes at your apartment? So you're actually, like, all these figure skaters are doing that. It's just that
that's what we just don't know that all of them are just wearing this, like, borrowed, inherited former partner garb.
It's just a drapey ombre sparkled blouse, and that's how you be your old partner who was an internationally competitive figure skater. There it is. Perfect. Okay, so let's talk about Makar. Dude, where's Makar?
Where is he?
I crashed my car into a bridge. I want to let it burn. Okay. Anyway.
I feel like that's the alternative title of this episode is Dude, Where's My Car? Where's my car?
Dude, where's my car? That's going to be if he doesn't make the final. I'll be like, dude, where's my car? Okay. I always expect a new, younger competitor come on the scene and be, like, really technically good or whatever, but maybe not have the maturity to have, like, a good artistry background or whatever. But this kid has it for me. I mean, he looks like he's leggy. He's a leggy boy, and he looks like he just grew and maybe doesn't know what to do with those leggies yet. They don't always, you know, wrap super tight on his jumps or his spins, but he does have a certain level of grace and carriage that seem beyond his years and make me feel like it's not like he has to take a dance class and learn that grace. It's more about confidence and feeling like he belongs there. And that's, you know, only a matter of time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like sometimes, like you said, sometimes it's the immediate response to, like, seeing someone you haven't seen before, like, do really well is like, who the fuck is this person? Kind of. But with him, I was like, oh, this is fascinating. I've never seen this. And even, like, I don't think he did, like, Junior Grand Prix or Worlds or anything last year, so I don't remember him ever making an impression on me. But, yeah, point being that now I'm like, oh, I'm, like, on board. Like, I'm buying this. Like, whatever you're selling, I'm kind of into it.
Yeah, and he does the slab squat spin the way that Dennis does. Yeah. I don't know if he does it as well, but I love that we got two of those in the same competition, and he has time to figure it out. Like I said, I think he's still figuring out his leggies. I think he has potential for a high PCS going forward, like, the more comfortable he gets, like I said.
This is very exciting. Sometimes it hits me that, like, if we stick with this and figure skating doesn't get canceled when someone scores a 420, we don't know who we're going to be talking about, like, 3 years from now. Like, I hope a lot of the people we talk about now are still competing and working and well, etc. But, like, there's people like this kid, like, we don't even know.
It's true. So, Makar's free skate is to the Troy soundtrack, and from far away, his shirt reminds me of those shirts you used to go to, like, you could get in, like, 2004 from, like, Express, where it was, like, kind of like a waffle shirt, and it had, like, a blurry black and gray photo of, like, a misty landscape of, like, London or Paris on it. And I definitely did not wear one of those my first day of ninth grade, because would be lame.
Oh my God.
With a choker that because I wanted people to know I was cool and approachable and fun. But
my Russian teacher wears one of those basically every week, but she wears them with, like, a knee-length skirt, and she wears them with a belt over the t-shirt, and usually flesh-toned fishnets and rose gold sneakers. She's an icon. She's incredible.
Oh my God. I love that. Sometimes those shirts would also have, like, cursive writing over them.
Yes, of course.
And it would be, like, a weird poem or something. or words that didn't make sense. Oh God, I love it.
Why is this shirt the universal experience? Why is this shirt the shirt?
Maybe that shirt is the shirt.
Well, it's an old shirt. It could be.
I don't know, but it really did resonate with a lot of people if it made its way around the world like that.
Yeah, it's a universal thing.
If you look closer, though, at Makar's shirt for his free skate, it's actually, like, it's like two shirts. It's like an ombre-ish thing, and then on top is, like, a silvery, like, loose knit kind of torn thing, and it kind of looks like armor-ish.
Yeah.
Which is, it's kind of medieval considering it's to the Troy soundtrack, and I feel like if I remember correctly, they were more like swords and sandals kind of dudes.
Yeah, but they were like swords and sandals and like a single chest plate that doesn't protect your sides and people can still very much stab you.
It brought me back to a place of like, again, like that kind of 2004, 2005, but more like that era of men's figure skating when it was like Stefan and Jeffrey Buttle and Lysacek and like the kind of programs they would do would be like an earnest, leggy boy skating to movie music soundtrack about people who were like men who are fighting in wars. Like, I feel like that was the whole thing back then. And it just, it took me to a place.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge proponent of this whole era coming back just because aesthetically, I think we peaked in men's figure skating about 15 years ago. So having a newcomer kind of bring back this aesthetic is very exciting to me. I just really quickly, because I was Googling while we were talking about Troy, I do want to acknowledge that Jamie from The Irrepressibles is queer. So this shirt is not a girl shirt. It's some other shirt. And I didn't want to contribute to erasing that part of his identity.
That feels important. Okay.
It's a gay shirt, but I still think it's just like a worn t-shirt from like camp that you still keep around.
Why did you highlight, what is the, you come in?
Oh, I wrote a note and it says, you come into my house on the day of my daughter's wedding talking about Evan Lysacek with no content warning or anything. What the fuck, dude?
I put this in my outline notes and Netta, yeah, this is the annotation Netta put was that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I may or may not still be bitter about Evan Lysacek, and that's fine. I mean, I'm still bitter about like Calgary 88, which I wasn't even born for. I just, for someone who preaches finding the joy in figure skating, I'm bitter about a lot of old things.
Yeah, find the joy in figure skating, but also, like, let's be honest, there's no way we'll ever get over that.
God, I hope there's one Lysacek stan who listens to this and comes for me.
Canceled.
Oh, please cancel me over Evan Lysacek. That would make me so happy. Okay, let's move on. Moving on now. Dimitri Aliyev.
Dimitri Mucinex DM non-drowsy. He is beautiful.
He is.
I think if he were an actor, he'd be one of those actors that, like, only does period pieces, and then he'll show up, like, one random time on, like, a Law & Order episode, and you're like, what? He wears t-shirts?
Yeah.
He just looks so at home in a velvet doublet.
I daydream, mostly because of Stanislava Konstantinova, about, like, Chekhov on ice. And I feel like he belongs in that same universe. Just, like, beautiful period pieces. Beautiful man.
Yeah, he'd come in and he'd be like, Stasia, you have to sell this fucking cherry orchard. And she'd be like, no, I can't.
My beautiful cherry orchard.
Not my trees. I can give you a beautiful life, but can you give me trees? Can you give me seagulls? That's what Chekhov is like. So here's the tea.
Yes.
Dmitry Aliyev has, like Evgenia, his attention to detail is fucking unparalleled in this field. It's like, I mean, even I would put him up there with Shoma for sure of like people whose artistry is just like, who else is doing that? I mean, like every single little movement he does feels as important as a quad or a, you know, a jumping pass combo. It's so,
the drama and stakes and performance he brings to my favorite musical of all time, Mozart, L'Opera Rock, just, it's hard to do a bit about how campy this music is when he sells it so hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think both programs are like that for me. And, like, there's, you know, this sort of idea of, like, the skater, that skater skates empty programs. They don't have enough. I mean, it's just between jumps. It's just, you know, bland skating or whatever. I feel like Dmitri Aliyev is just the opposite of that. It's like there's not an empty second.
Agreed. Yeah. Gosh, it's like one of those things where, like, while we're talking about someone, I just want to go watch them. That's honestly the like biggest testament to like someone skating, learning from doing this for so many episodes. Hey, by the way, 20 episodes.
20 episodes.
Which is fucking insane. Good for us.
We're not a teenage podcast anymore. We're entering our 20s.
Oh my god, we're a 20-something.
Oh my god, we're a 20-something.
Oh yeah, that's so cute. Good for us. So anyway, yeah, like something I've learned while becoming a 20-something podcast baby is that the biggest compliment for a skater is when I can't talk about him because I just want to go watch it again.
He is really, really ballsy to put a jump on the word fall. He has a jumping pass on like silent raindrops fell, and he lands a jump exactly on the word fell, And on the one hand, I'm like, that's really, like, kind of tempting fate. But then on the other hand, I'm like, well, if he did fall, it would work with the song. So he's kind of covered both ways.
It's either going to make narrative sense or it's just going to work for the program. Those are, like, the two options.
Maybe he'll get really high PCS for a really good interpretation of music.
Well, it said fall and he fell, so I guess GOE plus 5.
Yeah, fall base value -1, but GOE plus 5.
Oh, that's my dream. That's like the way I skate, basically. I love this song for him so much. The angsty drama of it, the like stakes and the moodiness and the gorgeous minimalistic costume. It just works so well. It makes me so happy. I went into the season predicting that he's gonna have a great season. I remember saying that way back when, but I didn't expect that I would care so deeply that he's having a good season. And now he's like a favorite. Like, I really care to see what he's up to.
Him and his best bro, his boy Sasha, got to a podium together. They get to go to the Grand Prix final together, probably. I kind of love that. If you haven't seen the video of them cuddling in bed with Dima just gently breastfeeding Sasha and kissing him on the hair, I really recommend it.
It sounds like bad fan fiction that you're coming up with, but it is a real thing that exists. They just are bros and buddies and friends.
Yeah, like, we would not be able to make that up, believe it or not. So that exists, and I love that for them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny, because we may as well transition into gold medalist Alexander Samarin.
His name is Alexander Samarin. And there is a million things he hasn't done, but he did get himself a final placement just like that. He showed up.
He did.
He won.
It's funny, because the two of them are like two sides of the same Russian coin. Ooh. Like, Dima is very... he's very artistic and very complete, but he doesn't always have those quads, you know? And Sasha, I mean, he's not the world's most consistent boy, but when he is, my God, I mean, in this competition, he fell a million times, but when he did land, he got the highest scoring combo in history over anything that, like, Yuzu or Nathan did.
Yeah.
And, you know, we say in history, I mean, in the last 2 years since they changed the scoring system, but still, I mean, a lot of skating has happened since then.
Yeah, it's enough skating to be impressive.
It's enough that it's impressive, and Sasha doesn't have that same attention to detail, that same level of emotional commitment, but, you know, it's cool that they're friends, because maybe they're sharing tips.
Yeah,
just the tip, though.
Jesus Christ. It was, a blues for Klook.
I got no Klooks, but my home was never on the ground. I got no Klooks. I've got no!
That's the season. That's it. That's everything it is. I do want to say, while I recover from this, I do want to say, I know it's very on the nose and maybe shows basic lack of comprehension of how the blues could be many things and not just a color, but I do enjoy that he's wearing head-to-toe blue. I think that shirt is so beautiful. I thought of that when I saw it in person at IDF, and I'm... seeing it, it was one of those things, like Mariah, it, like, seeing it on video actually, like, made me appreciate the details of it a bit more. Like, little beautiful Slavic blonde blue-eyed boy looks just so very good in a nice deep blue. It's just pretty. It's a good shirt. Has some nice, like, mesh moments.
Yeah. Now, I want to say, Nam's Klook definitely fucks. I don't know about Sasha's. But the narrative I got from this was a weird haunted marionette comes out of a box or a chest or what have you. Takes a while to get its groove back. And by the end, it realizes it's not just alive, it's a little horny.
It's a real boy.
Yeah. That's how you define a real boy, is like alive and a little horny.
Comes out of a box, doing just fine, realizes their own mortality and also their own horniness. Makes sense.
Those generally go hand in hand in my experience.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unless that's not how you do things, which is valid. But over here at the IC pod, that's what being alive is like.
Being alive.
Yeah, that's also what the musical company is about. It's Bobby realizing that, first of all, he's a real boy, not a marionette, and also a little horny. That's not even a bit, that's basically it.
That's true, and you can trust us because we have like 47 degrees in musical theater between us.
Basically.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, it's hard. I mean, who was the third Klug in this competition? It was some...
Is it Litvinsev? He opened up. He started the event with a Klug, and then it just kept
Restella coming.
The Restella Klug.
Did you hear me just now? Did you? Because I lost you completely because I received an unknown call from fucking Romania.
What? No.
Who the fuck is calling me from Romania, Netta?
It's Dracula. He just wants to have a word about the misrepresentation of vampires in our October bonus episode.
That must be it. That must be it. It's Krasnojan. He's like, why aren't you talking about me?
Yeah, we'll get there, Alex. Just hold on half a second.
So anyway, as far as the free skate goes, I feel like the song and the costume are doing a lot of heavy lifting, and as far as like giving us a tone and a story, but if you took them away, I wouldn't get any of it from Sasha himself, and that's a problem for me, because like, what is it? Is it horror? Is it scared? Is it dark and edgy? Like, here's he's bringing the thing. Nothing for me.
This free skate is comprised of two pieces of music combined, which I only know because I had to add them to my playlist. And the first one of them is called Persecution, which I can kind of understand. There's like this ghostly, like haunting situation. The second one is called Good News. And I'm just not sure what the narrative I'm supposed to be getting is.
It's like you're being persecuted. Good news, just kidding, no you're not.
Okay. Sure.
How about the weird, the like ghost voice that's like, I feel like it's saying, call me mister, I used to fight, right? I used to fight. That's what it sounds like he's saying over and over
like,
again,
I'm
right?
Mystified?
I don't know. I'm so confused. You know, Samarin does emote and like really get into it usually around the step sequence, like toward the end of every program, but he's one of those skaters that cannot turn on the performance until he's gotten all the jumps out of the way, and he's got to get over that. It's like a very junior thing.
Yeah. Oh, he says, I was kind of right. It's call me mystery, I mystify. It's not I'm mystified, it's I mystify. Okay, I'm gonna read you all of this. Call me mystery, I mystify, I mystify. And now I'll rise above you. You can never say what I have lost. You can never guess where I've been down. I can never break something that ain't wrong. Baby, come and chase what I have in store. I can never break something that ain't wrong. Baby, come and chase what I have in store. And I'll rise above you. Call me mystery. I mystify. I mystify. And scene.
That sounds like a Gabby Dillman Instagram.
It does, though. It does. You can never guess where I've been.
You don't know where I've been.
We love and respect Gabby Dillman, of course. But that's... that's it. You know what, though? Making it sound like a Gabby Dillman Instagram post is honestly giving it like a lot of benefit of the doubt, because the other option is it sounds like an r/niceguys kind of thing. Where it's like, oh yeah, I'm just like, you don't get it, but like I'm mystery. And like combined with the rest of his Joker bullshit, and I say this as someone who adores him, I'm concerned. It has big, not like outer guys, TM energy, and I don't know how I feel about that. I'm very proud of him. This is exciting.
Okay, so honorable mentions. Well, I just want to say that it was really a fantastic week for Klug, and that if he still has the blues after this, I think he might need to seek some help. Maybe some Klugnative behavioral therapy, or get on some Klugsapro.
Yeah.
Yeah, this podcast was a mistake. Bye.
I just think it's funny. It's the Marge Simpson meme with the potato. I'm like, I just think it's funny.
I just think it's funny. I just think Nam's neat.
He is so neat.
He's just such a good showman. My God. What a Nam. What a man. Love the blues. His blues for Klug is it's a darker, edgier, sexier Klug.
Yeah. I feel like that's a Klug who's, like, getting out of his, like, bluesy funk, and he's, like, starting to find himself again. Like, he's maybe dating again and just, like, trying to put himself out there.
He's single and ready to mingle!
Yeah, basically.
He's down to Klug.
Down to Klug!
I'm sorry, I'm changing my Tinder bio right now to down to Klug.
Got the blues, down to Klug!
I want to just acknowledge that it really is sad to me that we live in a world where Dennis Vasiliev has to have a backup shore program because Two Men in Love is not going to be accepted in certain parts of the world. But he did a great job regardless.
I didn't want to really... Well, we can only speculate if that's why that choice was made. But Russia has a lot of propaganda laws in place. Whatever. Honestly, his other program fucks as well. So I was happy to see it, but still messed up.
Dennis also apparently has an entire fantasy world he's made up about a dwarf named Doggo, and I cannot say enough.
I am profoundly in love with him. Yeah, a lot of his aesthetic makes so much more sense when you read his extensive explanation about his fantasy world.
I just can't get over it. Like, I just saw that this morning, and I'm, like, losing my mind over it.
Okay, let's quickly go down this list. My Georgian boyfriend, Morrissey, looked beautiful. Again, he's so dashing.
I have a hot and edgy theory about Morrissey.
Oh my god, yes.
I was gonna tweet it, and then I was like, no, this is too hot for Twitter. This is podcast exclusive.
fuck you. So what is it?
Okay. His program. I can't remember if it's Free Skaters short program. I apologize for this. He wears a red and white costume, and he skates to a song with the lyrics that are like, always watching you. Is this a hot young Santa Claus?
Yeah. Yes, it is. That's the only narrative.
Morrissey's gonna find out whether you've been naughty or nice.
God, I wish he would.
There you go.
Hey! Yeah, we are dating. He doesn't quite know it, but we are.
Who else are we going to talk about?
Mick Brezina is always beautiful, brings me great joy. I don't care if his jumps don't work, he's the best. Megan, we got to talk about Shoma.
I know. We've avoided talking about it for so long, and I was like, you know what? Okay, I'm not. I've been holding my tongue on Twitter because I'm like, I have a podcast for this. We're just going to talk about it on the podcast.
We can do this quickly because I feel like people have mostly started to be smart.
Yeah, I feel like it's mostly blown over, so that's kind of part of the good thing about the fact that we only ever talk about stuff like a week later. Okay, so regarding the Shoma situation, so if for some reason you don't know, basically it was leaked that Shoma has some sort of like Twitch gaming streaming channel where he plays video games with his buddies, and he thought, I guess, that he was doing so anonymously, but of course, you know, it's 2019, it's easy to dox anybody in any situation. So he said some things, and if you want to see exactly what he said in the full context, I really recommend, the translation I recommend is by Twitter user at Liza_Yas. That is LIZA_YAS. And this person made an effort to really translate not just the part of the transcript that is getting widely circulated, but also a lot of the surrounding comments, a lot of things that give as much context as possible. And it was an attempt to do a translation that was unbiased and not influenced by politics of like standing this skater or that skater or whatever. So that's the translation that I really recommend. Shout out to that person for taking the time to do that. Anyway, so basically the thing that was said that was upsetting to people was that Shoma said that he, depending on how you translate the word that he used, either hates or strongly dislikes girls his own age because all they care about is getting boyfriends or getting guys or something. And that was upsetting because people were saying that that was a misogynistic thing to say, or there were a lot of things that were said about it, and I don't want to like necessarily give voice to like extremely radical opinions on here because we can form our own opinions and whatever. Surprising no one. I just feel, you know, we're probably going to have a little more of a nuanced take on this, right?
Yeah, it's hard to start this conversation because I feel like both of us have had this conversation with each other and also kind of with other people as well, with our friends. My friend Sasha and I had a very long kind of chat about it. The way I feel is I don't think that the things people say in private should be excused from judgment, because I feel like if you're only a nice person while there is cameras on your face, you're not a nice person. However, I don't think that's the case with Shoma. I think it was easy to read the initial translations as spread around on Twitter and be like, oh my god, he is a, you know, horrible gamer incel r/nice guy, etc. What have we done? I don't think that's the case. If you read the full translation, it was a lot of back and forth with comments that we don't I guess even if you speak the language, you don't get to hear because he's, like, responding to, like, stuff in chat. I do not think he was ever, like, oh, the fucking Stacys and, like, whatever, like, this whole thing that I can't even bring myself to imitate. I do think that he perhaps needs to talk to more people in real life. And I'm not going to be like, oh, video games are, like, dangerous to this boy. They're, like, drugs, etc. I will say he probably has some work to do regarding socializing and talking to people. But I don't think any of it is a cancelable offense. You know what I mean?
I do. And something that I want to say is I don't mean to be condescending and I don't mean to be dismissive of younger people, but of all of the, like, capital G, capital M good men that I know in my life that are, like, in their 30s, they were all like that when they were 21, because if you're a, like, presumed cishet guy in society, we live in a society, especially if you are, you know, like Shoma, really, really exceptionally good at something, you're just not ever gonna be told about the way the world actually works. You're just gonna be presented your little bubble side of it where, you know, men are men and girls are girls and things are black and white and easy and simple and nothing's nuanced. It's like he hasn't had his eyes open to anything like that. And if you expect people that you admire or that you, if you see someone and you think they're cute and they're good at what they do and I like them, and that if you think that makes them a good person, you are going to have an awful life. And it is so much better to realize that about an ice skater you will never meet than to realize that about, like, guys you are sleeping with, like many of us did in college.
Here's the thing that I talked about with my friend Sasha while we're trying to unpack this. Everything you're saying is completely, I stand by everything you're saying. The other thing is, especially on, like, the internet, and I'm using the internet here as this liberal or leftist or, you know, quote unquote, and I am using African American vernacular and I do apologize, but this quote unquote woke internet that we've built for ourselves, it is so easy to equate good and talented and cute and attractive and standable with smart and woke. It is so easy to do that because so many of us have built a community online in which those things are equal. My friends are smart and beautiful and educated about equality and feminism and everything else. Like, so I expect that from everyone, and I forget that so many talented people or so many nice people have not had the time or ability or access to the amount of information I have and my friends have to have formed the opinions that we have about how you should exist as a human in the world. That's not to say that we're flawless. I'm sure that you and I say a lot of fucked up things that, like, if you take out of context, we could be canceled within 20 seconds. But what I'm trying to say is this expectation of quote-unquote cancel culture, this expectation of purity in your morals and this complete lack of space to make mistakes and learn and grow comes from a place of immense privilege that none of y'all would like to accept that you have, that you've either had formal education where someone sat you down in gender studies 101 and told you about things, or you've had access to the internet and time to kill to read, like, gender studies and feminism posts on Twitter and Tumblr.edu to make you into the pure, infallible human being that you are that gives you the right to cancel everyone else. Like,
this or comes... you've gotten to meet an amazing amount of, like, role models who've really changed your life and who've made that time to, like, educate you on that. And the truth is that ice skaters, the role models that they meet have taken the time to educate them about ice skating, and that's it.
Yeah. It's a stupid excuse, but honestly, the people you stand because they spin and jump well have spent their entire life spinning and jumping well and not going to the liberal arts colleges you and like you and I come from to learn about things. Unrealistic and setting you up for disappointment if you just expect everyone to have the amount of quote-unquote wokeness of someone who grew up engaging with social theory on the internet. I wish that was a reality, because it would make all of our existence way easier, but that's just not how things work. It's just not.
Yeah, I think that the perspective that I would like, that I take on this, is that Shoma does seem a little lost, and I don't just mean in terms of his views. I think if we look at the broader context of the interview, it seems really clear to me that he's struggling a little bit with, like, you know, I'm not an armchair psychologist, so I'm not going to say, like, oh, he's capital D depressed, but he's obviously struggling with some things, like a lot of people do at his age, and, you know, perhaps younger or whatever, but I wouldn't be surprised if anybody was a little immature, given the weird background that, you know, somebody who goes to the Olympics as a teenager has. So I just think that he's going through some things, and that it would be, if we all actually really want to put our money where our mouth is, I think that the best thing we could hope for would be that he would learn. And maybe, you know, going to Champéry or, like, going wherever he's going, meeting whoever he's meeting, having good role models and learning more. I mean, I don't know anybody who stands by everything they said when they were 21. I really don't. And I'm sorry if you're listening and you're 21 and you feel condescended to, but just know that you're going to grow and change a lot in your life. And I'm not the same person I was when I was 21.
I thought I was deeply smart when I was 21, and I thought that I'd learned everything there is to learn about life. And honestly, there are so many things that I've said that, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, yikes, you have so many things to find out. We can keep going in circles, but that's basically.
We certainly can. And I just want to say one final thing, which is that I hope, and I don't expect any actual change, but I would hope that this would be a lesson to the figure skating community, that, like, infantilizing and ooh-woo-woo-fying people that you don't know is never going to end well. Why would you look at Shoma and decide his entire personality is, like, cute, sleepy, dopey, oh, little sweet little teddy bear boy, when you don't know him? And that's kind of a gross thing to do anyway, with, you know, to say nothing of the, like, infantilization of Asian men in Western culture anyway. Like, I'm not gonna go there, but that's a thing too. But I think part of the reason this was so devastating to people was because it was so dissonant with that image that he never consented to.
Yeah, it destroyed, like, an image that people had of him, allegedly, that he had nothing to do with. Yeah, everything you were saying. I'm out of gas on this one. It's just, if you don't put people on a pedestal, you're never going to be disappointed when it comes out that they're humans and capable of mistakes. Like, I know it's hard in a sport where we literally put people on a podium, but, like, that's just for the sport. It's not for real life. I do want to read you a thing, because you were talking about how it would be good for him to go to Champéry. This is posted 22 hours ago, and it's from the translation came from the Yawning Shoma Twitter account, and they posted a screen cap of a translation of a thing that he posted on the Toyota website. And it says, "This is Shoma Ono from the Toyota Motor Corporation. Thank you so much to everyone for their unending support. I have decided to try putting myself in a new environment for the season. I have no doubts in my choice and will take each step forward on this path with confidence, steadily restoring my old self. From there, I hope to go further and discover a new me. I will give it my all without backing down every day so that I can compete even further. So thank you for continued support." Accompanied with a picture, very blessed, of Shoma and Stefan hanging out, and the kiss and cry. So it seems like a pretty, I'm not sure if it's the announcement, but it sounds pretty fucking official. And I feel like
he's been saying things like, I feel strong with Stefan, and I feel pretty close to a choice of coach. And I just, I could not love that more. I would definitely want Stefan to be my coach in anything I did. Speaking of Stefan, we need to talk about some plushies that happened. They were very important. Cue the grunge.
Okay, here's the deal with plushies before we even go down this list, because you have a beautiful list, of course. I love rats a lot. I think they're precious and beautiful. I don't know why there was so many of them at Rust Telecom.
It was kind of a Rats Telecom situation.
But why? I don't get it. I don't know if it's like a pop culture thing I'm missing. I'm not mad at it. But why?
So obviously the plushie of the day, and it's wild that this was the plushie of the day, because there was another gigantic bear. There was a gigantic fan. There were a lot of really, really notable things. Plushie of the day, though, was a cool and edgy rat received by Denis Vasiliev's, which looked to me like a combo. It was like a combination of Rizzo from The Muppets and Rizzo from Grease.
Yeah.
It was like a rat wearing a leather jacket and shades.
Yeah,
and
it was so cool.
He got off the ice and he said, "It's perfect. I love cheese." And then he handed it to Stefan and he was like, "This is you." And I'm like, don't call Stefan a rat.
This entire interaction was just pure gold. Yeah, I believe this rat has a Twitter account now, which is incredible.
I love this rat. I would die for this rat.
We
stand so cool.
Very hard. He's incredible. Yes. What else was notable?
Okay, Makar Ignatov got a pink curly-haired elephant with bows on its trunk.
Same.
Same. Huge same. Oh, Kazuki got a shark and a strawberry.
I love that.
Nam got a baby pinguino, and he made it wave and hop.
Which, bonus points for puppeteering the plushie. Always a
always.
Win. Always. Always a win. My boyfriend Morrissey got a hot pink unicorn.
Yeah, sorry, these notes are absolutely illegible because I wrote them at like 5 in the morning. So
they're
beautiful.
They
say things like, Morrissey got hot pink unicron.
It does say unicron.
It does say unicron.
And then it says, and I quote, Mick got a small, spelled S-M-O-L, raccoon, and a small bear.
It actually says raccoon, which sounds like it would be the French way.
A
I don't
small
know
raccoon.
It's probably not.
I'm
a petit sure. Raccoon.
Sasha, and if we have other French listeners, I'm so sorry.
Let's see. Oh, Shoma got a bear in a JSF jacket, which was cute.
I always like when they dress the bears.
I also said a giant plar bear. I think it's supposed to be polar bear.
I always like, I know I just invented Build-A-Bear, basically, but I like when they dress the bears.
You just invented Build-A-Bear.
I got very excited over the notion of dressing up the bears, and then I realized that's already a thing, and it's Build-A-Bear.
Listen, Build-A-Bear would be a friggin' great sponsor for us, just saying.
Oh my god, can they please? We have a whole plushie thing. It could be, like, seamless. They wouldn't even know that we're advertising.
It's true, native advertising, baby. I love that Xenia always gets these tiny, tiny, tiny little stars.
They're so cute.
They're so cute. She got a bouquet of red roses.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay, first of all, I tried to write Vladimir Linitsnev, and it's just a key smash. Vladimir Linitsnev got a bear, and I think I tried to write in a jacket, but it came out in a jacket, so that must be Ina Bauer's sister.
Please welcome to the stage, in a jacket.
Ina, this shirt is my figure skating drag name. It works on many levels.
My figure skating drag name is just Carmen.
It's just Carmen.
Just Carmen. But it's first name just, second name Carmen.
Oh, perfect.
Just Carmen.
Just Carmen. So Mick Brezina got another rat, and it was terrifying and purple, and
it was just me. I was just there.
You were just there. I accidentally gave it a voice on Twitter, and now I can't stop doing the voice. It looks like it's saying, "Can I have cheese?" Excuse me. Can I have a cheese, Mr. Brezina, please? Can I have a small cheese? Can I bother you for a second, please? I just am so hungry. I need a cheese. Can you take a break from the skating to give me a cheese?
A cheese.
Just one cheese is fine.
Oh, you know who else got a rat? Mariah got a green rat.
She did get a green rat. Maybe they got confused and misread Team Raff as Team Rat.
I think... on all levels except physical role, Team Rat.
Samarin got a flat... again, I wrote Unicron. A flat Unicron.
Oh, Satoko got this very cute plushy nesting doll, or a matryoshka if you're a normal person, a Russian nesting doll. But she got a plushy one, which makes me feel like it's not stuffed with more of them. So it's not technically a nesting doll.
Concept for alternate episode title, Cup of Plusha.
That's cute. I'm into that.
Mariah also got a duck and a bow tie, I think. That's what it was. And Sasha Trusova received a dragon, which is what she
of
deserves
course.
For being the dragon,
she
the
must.
Mother of dragons. But I also, it was, I think, the dragon from How to Train Your Dragon. So it was like a nice crossover of dragon properties.
Oh my god, it's like Krasnajan with all of his vampires, but like a dragon version.
Dragons supporting dragons, you love to see it.
Up next, she does like the entirety of the original soundtrack of the movie Aragon or something.
That's a really niche thing to have your career be about, is like just dragons.
Honestly, if I was 15 and someone was letting me skate, that would basically be it. To be honest. It would be that and, like, My Chemical Romance.
I would have just been doing, like, anime soundtracks, so just
valid.
KG, I guess.
Just deeply valid. Did anything
okay,
else happen?
So, well, in the kiss and cry, Stefan won the day for
of course.
Me. He was like, my feet don't reach the floor.
That's exactly what he sounds like.
I can't do a French accent. I'm sorry. I don't understand. Honestly, like, everyone brought out the Louis Vuitton to impress, to impress Stefan. Like, Team right? Samba went all out, head to toe Louis Vuitton, and Misha Gay, hashtag fellas, is it gay, had his Louis Vuitton scarf on as well. Everybody brought out the LV.
Misha Gay was also wearing this beautiful tailored coat, which, like, fits his hair and his general color scheme so perfectly. He looked like a beautiful autumnal spirit. I tweeted about it, and he liked that. So now he knows that recognized. Now he knows that at least one person in this world appreciates his commitment to a consistent color story.
My other favorite moment in the Kiss and Cry was after the free skate when Evgenia, like, put her head on Brian's shoulder and he put his head on her head, and it was so cute. I was like, yeah. I want Brian to be my dad.
Yeah. I was like, on all levels except physical, I am too cuddling with Brian Orser because I need this emotionally right now.
Social media corner. The theme of social media corner this week was dads. Speaking of Brian Orser.
Yes.
Number one. Skate Canada released a really fun video of Keegan and Nam, best bros for life, doing some sort of try not to laugh dad joke challenge, and it was just charming as hell. The two of them are just so funny.
I found myself laughing to those dad jokes. I wasn't proud of myself.
Les blagues de papa.
I'm not even sure if that's the expression in French. Like, is that a thing?
But that's what they captured.
Yeah.
It, so.
Yeah.
And speaking of daddies, some awful Russian news outlet ran some awful item.
Well, like, news outlet is putting it very, very, very nicely.
Yeah, that's a little generous. But some awful Russian diaper trash heap suggested that Evgenia looked like she's pregnant or something.
No, it was like, oh, the way she skates, I read the whole thing because I have chronically low blood pressure, so sometimes I like to read things just to, like, not take medicine for that and just, like, raise it naturally.
Listen, holistic medicine is
valid. This is, I believe in holistic medicine, by which I mean going on Reddit and, like, garbage Russian websites. But what it said, basically, I'm not gonna find it, I'm just gonna quote what I remember. It was like, yeah, the way she skates seems like skating is not, like, the predominant thing in her life right now, and it might be because she's in love with someone, or it might be because she's worried about her unborn child.
First of all, on what fucking planet do you look at Evgenia and think her mind is somewhere else while she's skating? Like, Jesus Christ.
No, she's thinking about her unborn child.
But anyway, Evgenia took this in stride, and she certainly did not have to because it's an extremely awful thing to say about somebody. But she reposted the article on her Instagram story and just wrote, "Who's daddy?" and then laughing emoji. And I'm like, you know what? That's a good question. Who's daddy?
Is daddy? I don't know who daddy is.
I mean, I could name daddies all day. But
I can name daddies, but I don't know who this daddy is.
It'll just have to remain a mystery.
It is a mystery. We are mystified, etc. I do want to talk about Nam, who blessed us so profoundly.
Nam gave us the one thing we've been wanting our whole lives.
He livestreamed from the banquet, which was
drunkenly.
Drunkenly, clearly. It was a fucking joy to behold. He started, obviously, with, like, the Team Canada table and, like, bothering his friends. And then at some point, he was like, I'm gonna go walk around. And then he decided to walk around and bother everyone else. And it was very cute because he would just walk past people and be like, oh, this is my friend so-and-so. Say hi. And he would just, like, everyone was his best friend. He went over to the Japan, Team Japan table, called Satoko princess, like, 12 times.
Oh yeah, he was like, this is my friend Satoko, she's the princess of Japan.
And not like the ice princess or anything, he was just like, she's the princess of, she's actual royalty.
She's like, don't tell anyone, Nam. It's like a full princess, it's like a reverse Princess Diaries where she knows she's a princess, but she's not saying anything.
Who is princess?
Who's princess? Who's daddy? Princess daddy. I don't know. Is that
That's a gender.
Is princess daddy is a huge gender. So, but Satoko also lives in Canada now, and it is my understanding that Canada's pretty big, and I don't know the whole story on that. Huge if true, true if huge. If they live anywhere near each other in Canada, I hope Nam takes Satoko out on one of his infamous rooftop romantic restaurant dates that he takes literally everyone on.
Yeah, I think it's very romantic. Fun. He, like, knows one restaurant in town and he takes everyone.
It's like there's one constant in the world, and it's that Nam will take you on a beautiful rooftop date.
Fantastic. I do want to say an underrated moment from this live stream that was my favorite because it featured my Georgian boyfriend was he walked over to Morrissey and he was like, this is my friend Morrissey. He's from Georgia. Say hi. And he's saying that Morrissey is from Georgia. And he goes, beautiful country, man. And then turns to a camera. He's like, I've never been. Dad jokes.
One final thing that we need to talk about is not exactly social media.
Yes.
But it is if you consider Spotify to be a social media platform.
Which it is.
Which it is if you don't hide all of your teeth under a bushel like I do, because it's nobody's business if I listen to Blues for Kluke 17 times a day.
You can't, bitch, because it's not on Spotify, and I know because I've looked for it.
It's like when the hit single off the album isn't on Spotify. It's a sham.
Yeah, it's like historical revisionism about this season, the fact that Blues for Kluke is not on this playlist. So anyway, can we talk about other people's iconic playlists, please, and thank
you? Yeah, so someone thought to look up Nathan Chen's Spotify playlist names.
And it's golden.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, here's a skater who you dig through their personal life that they didn't think anyone was going to see, and it's actually just refreshingly wholesome. Do you want to do a dramatic read aloud of the titles of Nathan Chen's playlist on Spotify?
Let me just pull them up. Okay, so Nathan Chen has 157 followers, and he has four important playlists. The first one is called ¿Cómo se dice bump en español? And it's just like Spanish bops.
No, it's Spanish bumps.
It is Spanish bumps. Some good tracks. Then there is a second one, which is called Bump, but like chill. Which is chill bumps.
Bump, but like chills. It's a genre in and of itself.
He has one, and it's my favorite one. I've listened to it like four times at my office. It's called Jazzercise Baby.
Jazzercise Baby is my favorite Hozier album.
Thank you. And last but not least, he has a playlist called, and it's every single word in this title is capitalized because he's an educated boy. It's called, Gotta Do It All By Myself Now.
And it's, those are all like inspirational, like pump yourself up jams. And I have to assume he made it like when he started like kind of having to be like a little more self-motivated when he went away to school. And I think that's really sweet. It's all very like college boy music taste.
Yeah, it's a lot of Rainbow Kitten Surprise and the Lumineers and stuff.
A lot of Lumineers.
Blind Pilot. A whole bunch. Just good music. Mumford and Sons.
Can't forget the Sons. Sons make it happen.
Yeah, so go follow Nathan on Spotify for, honestly, just very good bumps. Megan, if people want to ask you cómo se dice bump en español, where can they do that?
They can do that on Twitter or Instagram at MeganKelleher3. That's MeganKelleher3. And then the number 3. Netta, if people want to float some theories at you about who daddy is, where can they do so?
Oh my god, please slide into my DMs at Netta Marie, that is NEDA, and then just Marie, on Instagram and also Twitter. Also, you can follow me on Spotify, it's at Netta Marie V, that's the letter V, like Vendetta, on Spotify. I do have a bunch of public playlists, including the Grand Prix Series 2019-2020 playlist, which doesn't feature Blues for Kluke, but features a lot of other stuff, so follow me on Spotify. Also, this podcast is on Spotify. While you're there, just subscribe to the podcast on Spotify. It is on there. We are also on Twitter and Instagram at IcedTPod, which is also our Patreon.
One of the awesome things that you can get if you give us just $1 a month is a shout out, and I would like to add your name to the following list of excellent people who've already given us $1 a month. Jordan, Danny, Julia, Daniel, Heath, Jennifer, and someone who made their Patreon name the following. In spirit, I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, which is relatable, and you can give us your name or a wonderful relatable phrase to say out loud if you give us at least $1 a month at patreon.com/IcedTPod.
Tell us who daddy is, and we're going to have to read that on here.
Yeah, make us say who daddy is.
Please tell us who daddy is.
He owes us so much child support.
Okay, come back next week when we're going to be covering, Megan, we're going to be covering the very last event before the Grand Prix final.
We're going to know who's going to the final next
week. We're going to know who daddy is next week.
What if this is all just a big giant contest to find out who daddy is? Oh, wait, did I just write Mamma Mia?
Come back next week for the Mamma Mia figure skating. Bye.
Bye.